Amanda.
And we are on our 20th podcast.
Hooray!
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
We're awesome.
No costumes this time. No,
yeah.
Or contest, but I think for 25, maybe a contest.
Yes, I believe 25 we should have a contest.
I think we'll be up for one in 10 weeks.
I was really hoping that somebody important might notice us and might happen to invite us to the daytime Emmys at some point.
Well, you know. We
need to know people of power.
Until they happen, so.
I know. We need to take this podcast on the road.
That's it. Yeah, that would be awesome. Be on the red carpet and podcast from there.
I think our road trip to Genoa City is probably a lot more plausible.
Yeah, more likely, that's
even
for sure.
Though California is so much geographically closer.
Yes.
Oh, well.
Logistically speaking.
So we were going to podcast a few days ago. Amanda ruined it.
Yeah, sorry.
You have good reason, though, so that's okay.
Yeah, at least I had a legitimate
reason. It's been, like, you know,
a couple days over.
Yeah.
But I think it was good because we got to see, you know, the President's Day episode, which was pivotal.
Yes, it was pivotal.
So, you know, happy President's Day.
We knew it would happen.
We knew it would happen, but when it happened, it wasn't any less satisfying.
No, I know.
You know, so
because I kept wondering, how would it happen?
How would it happen? Would they do what I expected?
It happened about as sloppy as I thought it would happen.
Yeah,
to.
it was, but there, you know, we'll talk about it in specifics.
Yeah.
The switcheroo was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was.
You know.
We'll get to that towards
the end. Of things that we've been anticipating, you know, and kind of waited for. And, you know, there have been storylines that we figured out ahead of time. It was like, okay, this is going to happen. Or, you know, like the baby switcheroo, you know.
Oh, yeah,
we know that's going to happen.
Totally.
We don't know how. Then it happened. And it was like, eh, okay, yeah, that'll work. But this was just like, yes, this is so great.
It is really good.
You know, so the level of satisfaction was quite high.
I agree. Well, so one thing we forgot to mention last time, which wasn't a huge deal, but important, is that Billy and Heather had a little hookup. I remember how quickly Heather and Adam had hooked up.
Right.
It was like they admired each other's butts at the gym, and like half an hour later they were like doing it in the athletic club. So that was about how fast Billy and Heather made it happen.
Yeah, it was kind of reminiscent of that, and it just reminded me of why I originally liked the character of Heather.
Yeah.
It was like, you know what?
Oh, she can be, you know, a little bit.
She can be uptight. She can be Little Miss ADA prosecutor lady. But every once in a while, they'll remember. It's like, oh, remember, she's like a mid-20-year-old woman who's single with no real ties or commitments.
And a hard body.
Yeah.
Let's get her out
smoking
there.
Smoking hot. She would be having the casual sex and enjoying it, so they went back to that, and I was all for it.
Yeah.
Here, here.
Yeah.
And with Billy, who I think is super cute, so it's, you know, it's a cute little couple. I don't mind.
Yeah.
Mind them.
And then, pretty soon after Heather had texted Billy, he had left her a message, though. It was like, hey, I had a pretty good time.
Yeah, yeah. He did the courteous callback, which is nice.
So he got a text, but it was in front of Chloe, and Chloe totally just made fun of him for it. It was pretty good.
It was very cute,
yeah.
It was that kind of, and to me it was like, okay, they really are over and done. Now they're in the, okay, I can tease you about having sex with other people phase, which is nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a long time
You think there's a future
for
Billy and Chloe? I always kind of wonder.
I always kind of
wonder. Like, maybe in the, not like in the immediate future, but
somewhere down the
line,
maybe.
It's like they have so much chemistry, and they share a child.
Yeah.
That it seems natural that they would find each other again.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I think it's, you know, possible. But yeah, it'll be years
They'll
down the
hang
line,
on to
I think.
It for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully they won't be like Sharon and Nick and Phyllis who do the, you know.
No. Please,
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. You know, that would
I don't see that
not
happening.
Be okay.
Let's not even suggest it because we know that you're like the ghostwriter.
Oh, right.
For
Sorry.
The series.
Oh, I'll rip up that particular post-it note. Throw it away.
Yeah. Speaking of the Chancellor Mansion, it got robbed, sort of.
Sort of. Not really.
More like invaded.
Yeah, it was more like a home invasion. And personally, I thought it was hilarious.
It was kind of
It was very
kooky.
Keystone Cops. Let's all run around in our 90s.
Yeah.
Did they ever show who the person was who had broken in?
We don't know yet.
Because I'm pretty sure it was someone in, you know, a black and white striped hamburger outfit.
Sure.
Or had, you know, the all black and the ski mask on.
Oh, yeah, with a mustache.
How could you tell if you had a ski mask on?
Oh, yeah, never mind. Never mind. Anyway.
You know, this was not ninjas, that's for damn sure.
Because Jill, what we saw is Jill goes into Catherine's room, wakes up Catherine, and she's like, there's somebody in the house.
I heard a noise.
And they're like, they lock the door in Catherine's room, and they're basically like in their matronly
flannel.
Giant, yeah, nightgowns.
Wisconsin sleepwear.
Murphy was out of town because he was fishing or something.
Yeah.
And so it's
Chance
just
was also not home.
Yeah.
There were no men at home.
No.
Except for Jill. And she was and she was lame in a crisis.
Yes. So her and Catherine just sort of bundled together and panicked a lot. And then somebody was even, like, trying the doorknob. But as soon as Catherine yelled out,
get away, I have a gun.
I've called the police.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if you were a serious criminal and you heard an 89-year-old woman yell, I've called the police, you would shiver and run away.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's, you don't want to mess with that.
So then the police come. They don't find anybody. It appears that they haven't stolen anything except a watch out of Chance's room.
Right.
Which has Chance's panties in a bundle.
Right. Any significance that we know of the watch? Is it, you know, was it given to him by a dying comrade in Iraq or Afghanistan? Or
that maybe
his dad gave it to him?
I was thinking that they were stealing it so they could plant it somewhere.
At some crime scene later.
Yeah.
But now they can't because it's
because he's reported missing. Yeah, so I don't know. But knowing the Genoa City Police Department, which is
inept.
Completely. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That watch is going to show up like,
no, the guy who's been calling, here's what's going to happen. The guy who's been calling Chance and leaving the, you know, mechanized messages saying,
What messages? What?
You know, come to the Riggs.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
come to the graveyard or whatever.
Yeah.
He's going to call up and he's going to ransom it. I have your watch. I'm peeling off its hands. Oh, no! Don't peel off my hands! And Chance will, you know, rush off and try and rescue his watch, and it'll all be, you know, the crazy old man down the road.
Oh, Lord. Let's not go there either.
This is how tired I am of this particular storyline.
I know.
I don't.
Do something with it or drop it.
Right, yeah.
I don't really see what's going on other than, I'm sure it'll matter later. But at this point, it's so boring. Who cares?
It's been dragged out so long, yeah.
Yeah. And
because we haven't even seen Chance in the last 2 weeks.
No.
He has not been on more than, you know,
more than to say, my watch has been stolen, I'm nervous, and he confided in Catherine, and Catherine went, well, you need to get help from somebody.
Yeah.
And he went, okay, and then we never saw it again.
And then, and there was an incident where he and Chloe were walking around outside, and there was a car backfire.
Oh, yeah.
And he tackled her into the snow.
That was a little PTSD right there.
Oh, a little bit, yeah. And so they're showing little symptoms of it, but then Chloe, I thought, did not take advantage of the opportunity.
No.
The way she should have. She should have just jumped right on him.
Wouldn't that be an interesting storyline, though? If all of this was somewhat constructed in his mind and that he was having some PTSD?
Oh, I think he totally, yeah, that would
be
interesting,
add some
and it would make sense.
They won't do that, though.
No. Well, I don't know. Maybe. You know.
A crazy man. We have so many crazy women that are beyond competent in the crazy department.
But see, they have, and when the crazy, but those people aren't crazy for a legitimate reason. Really?
God forbid we have somebody crazy because they actually
face
war.
I keep waiting for us to find out that, you know, Patty is crazy for the same reason that the Salem witch trial women were crazy.
Oh,
they, you know, they ate the wrong yeast or, you know, they've got some kind of dietary deficiency, which kind of is like what Lauren...
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's going crazy because
she's being poisoned or something.
With something
that she doesn't know about.
You know, I think that would be an important, given how many, I mean, in real life, how many vets are coming back and they're, messed up.
I think it'd be a great storyline.
You know, they could do a good PSA about it, you know.
And we didn't even see, really, like, who was jiggling the doorknob, mm-hmm. right? Ooh, it could have been Chance.
It could have been Chance, yeah. Maybe he's got a multiple personality disorder.
I love this
disorder.
Possibility.
Yeah, this has good... good potential.
But I don't think so.
I don't think so either, because it's too controversial.
It is.
You know.
Boo.
Another opportunity lost. God forbid we educate the public.
God forbid.
Yeah. So instead we'll do a little... what's that called? Industrial espionage? What Victor did?
I don't even know what espionage means, quite honestly. I know it's a big word.
And yet you spelled it right, so that's good.
I'm for a good sure. speller.
Yeah, yes, you are. So, okay, so Jabot was for sale.
Because Tucker had taken over Chancellor Industries,
right.
And basically he was going to piece it off. And I'm sorry, I'm going to bring it up again. I think the writers have watched Pretty Woman just a few too many times. How familiar are you with the whole Pretty Woman storyline?
Very vague.
Okay, I've seen Pretty Woman probably, like, 500 times.
Maybe once.
Okay.
When it first came out. Not a big Julia Roberts fan.
Okay, I'm not really either, but I love Pretty Woman. But I watched it in a film class, too, so I've written a lot of papers on it.
Oh, well, that makes it legitimate, then.
It was legitimate in a women's melodrama class.
Oh, okay, that
so there
makes
you
sense.
Go.
All right.
In Pretty Woman, we have... Julia Roberts, who's the prostitute. We all knew that, hooker mm-hmm. with a heart, right? But we've got Richard Gere. And Richard Gere, his, like, basic motivation in Pretty Woman was that he had issues with his father.
Right.
The last time he'd really seen his father was when he had taken over his father's company.
Right.
The same way Tucker did, and then sold it off piece by piece by piece.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Sort of vaguely remember all that.
So, that's exactly what he did to...
So- Are you equating Tucker with Richard Gere?
Yes.
No, I won't go there.
Well, no, I'm not
I've
saying...
I've had a crush on Richard Gere
no,
since
that's fine.
Since
they
American
do not
Gigolo.
Look alike or
okay.
anything like that.
Right.
I'm just saying it's the same motivation, same storyline. And
mm-hmm.
then,
okay.
so they had this scene with Tucker. Jill comes back and he basically...
blows her off.
Yeah, he
breaks
dumped
up her,
with her, blows her off. And she's like, can't we even be like business allies?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no... And he...
Darling.
Yeah, he seems kind of, like, indifferent, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And she leaves, and then he opens up, like, his bedroom slash office door, you
yeah.
know? And out comes this, you know...
Bimbette.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, there was just so much going on where I was like, this is so Pretty Woman right here that... Because, you know, he and Jill are going to get back together anyway. I'm going there.
Yeah, they probably will.
But the whole, you know, steal a company from your mommy or your daddy,
mm-hmm.
sell it off in pieces as revenge,
right?
Make as
break
much money
heart.
As you can to fill
right.
the void, blah, 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 blah. It's all there.
Okay, so if he does that
we
little
just...
snappy box thing, then I'll... Because really, that's
he
about
already
the only
did.
Thing
he already
did. He already
gave her the necklace
the...
and the stilettos.
He didn't snap the box
yeah.
at her, so it's not
right.
quite the same. But it very well could have. He might as well have.
Yeah.
So does that mean that Jill's going to have a heart of gold? Because I don't buy it.
Well, you know, and she did come from a very low place. She was a manicurist at one point. I'm not saying that that's a direct
mm-hmm.
correlation. I'm just
yeah.
saying that I feel like they just were, like, flipping through some old scripts and went, hey, let's just insert
yeah,
this
let's just
one in.
This. I saw this movie this weekend that was so good.
It was on TBS.
Right. Running on a loop.
4 o'clock
so,
while the Super Bowl was on.
Right. Let's just do that. Ooh, okay, sure. All right, let's go have lunch.
Anyway, okay, so the point is, Jabot is for sale.
Right.
that's where it's going.
Yes, so Jabot is for sale. Everyone in town who has $2 to rub together is putting together a bid. And
so who are those? Let's cover those people.
God, must we? Okay, fine.
Obviously, Catherine. Victor.
I don't think Catherine put in a bid, though.
I thought they did.
I don't remember.
But I thought her bid was so low that she kind of knew that
it
wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Jack and Ashley pulled their money to put in a really
mm-hmm.
big bid.
A really big bid, yeah. And Ashley pulled out some of her Newman settlement money.
Yeah.
So they were really convinced
they were gonna
our
get
bid
it.
Is going to be the winning bid.
And there were probably some other people we don't even know about, supposedly.
Yeah, they dropped some names of, you know, Kukla, Fran, and Ollie all got in there and, you know, put their money in, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, well, what about Newman? Has Newman put their hand in yet? And Tucker went to Newman and said, look, I'll sell it right out to you guys.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to do the open bid thing. And Nick, on behalf of Victor, said, no, we've got Newman Cosmetics. We don't want Jibbo.
Yes.
You know, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, Victor and Adam have this huge fight in the athletic club. They had gotten into their big fist fight.
Yeah, like Victor punched Adam
right in the face.
I mean, how many times is the blind guy going to get punched in the eye?
I know. It is kind of funny. It's like, you know, that's just... Sucker punching is bad enough, but sucker punching the blind guy adds a level of...
Over and over. Yeah. It's like he's taken it from everyone.
Yeah.
Anyway,
except
it was
for Catherine, I think.
Because Victor had written a scathing... Mm-hmm. Or given Billy a scathing sort of interview about how...
How much he hated
horrible.
His own son.
Yeah, and it was showing everybody in town sort of reading that interview aloud, and so everybody knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam supposedly felt really crappy about it, and Sharon's like, oh, let me heal your wounds. Yeah, exactly. So, it appeared that...
And it was really...
Oh, it was
mean
bad.
And malicious and vile, and was like, okay.
Everybody, even like the people without hearts in the show, were like, that was
cold.
That was uncool, dude.
Yeah. It just went overboard.
Yeah. So then we see it's like the night of everybody making their bids. Mm-hmm. They have like, you know, an hour left to do it.
Yeah.
And we see Adam breaking into Tucker's office and opening an unlocked drawer, I think. With some envelopes in it?
Yeah, I think he had a key.
Oh, okay.
He knew that, too.
Naturally.
Of course. But yeah, then he just, you know,
so
slits them all open.
Very carefully.
Very carefully. Yeah.
And sees the bids that have been made to buy Jibbo. Of course, they send the blind guy, you know?
Again, I was just like, wow,
the whole thing
really?
Was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
But he did the job, you know? He took pictures and texted them.
Straight to Victor,
so Victor was able to see.
And so we realized that the whole thing was like a facade.
Cover up.
Yes.
Yeah. It was good. They fooled me.
They fooled me as well. I thought, that bastard Victor, leave Adam
He's
alone.
He's done it again. Yeah. Yeah, no.
It didn't last very long, though. It was like an episode.
Right, yeah. But, you know, for a little while there. And did... It came out that it was all Nick's plan to do this.
No, it was Adam's plan, wasn't it?
No, it was Nick's plan.
Oh.
But Nick had said, don't tell Adam that this is my plan, because then he won't go along with it. And Victor's like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, we'll tell him it's my plan, and that it's just between the two of them.
Oh, okay, you're right.
So Adam thought he was being sneaky with his dad, and then found out later that, no, he was being sneaky with Nick, and didn't like that very much at all.
No, but basically,
like
the three of them
Nick.
Were... eventually aligned in that they made a bid for Jibbo. They won.
Of course.
And they purchased Jibbo for an exorbitant amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that Gloria had gone to Jack a little bit beforehand and said, you know what? I have some money.
I have access to money.
Yeah, access
it's not my
to money.
Because if it's her money, then Jack gets it
because of the
settlement, because of the face cream business.
Which, let's just put the face cream thing behind us.
Yeah.
Anyway, and she said, you know, you need this money. And he kind of half considered it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. But he's such a jerk to her.
Yeah.
And at this point, I don't really care so much about her.
No.
So, the next morning... it's being revealed to everyone that Newman has purchased Jibbo, and Victor goes in to personally tell Jack. And who does he bring with him but the new ambassadress of Jibbo?
And I have to say, I loved her outfit.
I did too!
So much. Did she have a turban, or was it just a hat?
I think it was a big furry hat turban thing.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was like, oh my god, okay, this Gloria
That's
I
the
love.
Gloria we like.
Let's keep this Gloria and kill Jeffrey.
Yes!
Feed him to Patty.
Oh, please.
Because, yeah.
I wish he would just go away.
Yeah. He's just, he adds nothing.
No.
And he's distracting, and I don't care for him.
Mm-mm. So. And I loved how Gloria just got to tell Jack off, you know, and what Victor was saying was that Jabot has somewhat of a tainted name, and who better to go around and...
Bring it back up again, and it's like, Gloria?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Whatever. Sounds
she looks
good.
Great.
Yeah, you know. And she's got a good job now, and maybe we won't have to worry about money grubbing. And
right, hopefully.
Maybe this could be good for Gloria.
And I think that she does sincerely have warm, fuzzy feelings about Jabot. And so she will, you know...
Totally.
You know, believe it when she says, this is the greatest cosmetic company ever. You know, she'll be honest about that. Totally. So that's kind of nice. Good for her.
And Victor gave Jack and Ashley, basically said, like, you're fired.
Yeah, get out.
You got a week. Yeah.
See ya.
Absolutely.
And was that the time when... Ashley said to Victor, oh, by the way, you can have the ranch, just keep it.
I think
so. It was kind of around that same time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That whole thing has also been dragged out. It's like, I don't really care who gets the ranch.
Personally, I think Victor and Nikki should have the ranch.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because it's his place. It's like where he...
And it's always been his place.
It's always been
the Newman
his.
Ranch. It's not the...
Yes. And that's where the rest of his family lives. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of ridiculous for Ashley to be there.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And for her to say, well, it's for Abby is a bunch of BS because she's uprooted Abby other times.
Many times. Yeah. And suddenly care about where she lives.
Yeah. And it's not that the ranch is going to make Abby...
any more normal.
Uh-uh.
And Faith doesn't care, because Faith is, you know, suddenly aware of her own hand. She doesn't care where she lives.
Exactly. You know? So, I don't know. I just felt like Ashley was...
I just thought it was kind of presumptuous of Ashley from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it's like, had the girls been really raised there,
you know,
if they had lived there for more than a week, then I could see wanting to keep it, but... For Ashley to
it's
waltz in and
it's a very transitional place right now.
Yes. Like, I'm divorcing you. Get out. It's like, well, no, wait. You're divorcing me. Shouldn't you be the one to go?
Yeah.
That just seems like divorce etiquette to me.
Yeah. Person, divorce etiquette.
The person divorcing should be the one to leave.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. So, keep that in the, you know, back of your head.
Okay.
You finally can't take it anymore.
I don't know. Anyway.
All right, should we move on to Phyllis?
Yeah, because there's not a whole lot to say.
No, it's pretty...
It's like they're leading up to a lot of things.
Yeah, she's got a bee in her bonnet.
It's so annoying. Yeah. I'm so annoyed with this.
Well...
It's tedious.
I just don't see why it's any of her business.
It's
she's
not.
She's putting her nose in where it's like, you know, what do you care who Taylor is?
I don't know.
Big deal. He's friends with Ashley. Okay. He was her obstetrician. Okay. He's friends with Adam. Well, that's a little weird, but, you know, okay. He was living there at the time. She was having pregnancy issues. So, you know, on the surface of it, it would kind of make sense for Adam to say, you know, I know this guy from Harvard, and he's supposed to be this great obstetrician, and Olivia's coming and going, who knows when she's going to be back.
And Victor supposedly checked him out, you know?
Yeah.
Come on, leave it alone.
Right.
But she just keeps going back. She just keeps telling, like, everybody in...
hearing distance.
Like, oh, I just saw them fighting on the street corner, and then he...
And then suddenly he was dead. And no one else really cares that Taylor's dead.
No, and everybody keeps telling her to just drop it. It's like, is it really that big of a deal?
Yeah.
Let's
Who
not
cares?
Dwell on it. But she has, like, nothing better to do, I guess, with her life.
Yeah, she has no storyline right now.
No.
Other than...
To get herself in trouble.
Well, and tentatively keep... Nick from leaving her again for the 900th time.
Please.
You know. So she heard that their Wunder doctor from Munich, or wherever it was, Geneva, I don't know, wherever they were this
Switzerland
summer.
Something.
Europe.
Swiss Austria.
Let's just go to Europe. I can narrow it down to a continent.
It.
Yeah. And who was going to just happen to be in Boston, which is very near Cambridge, Massachusetts, which is where Harvard is.
I love that she, you know, You know, they're really excited that Summer gets to go see her fancy European doctor. But mm-hmm. really, this trip is about Phyllis dragging her special needs daughter along
right.
on a private detective mission that she has no business.
Yeah, and if it was, you know, across town or maybe, you know,
yeah.
I would be fine if it was within 90 minutes driving distance. But no, this is like, I mean, Wisconsin to Boston is a, you know,
well, I thought significant. They flew there.
Well, I know, but you still have to.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure.
You know.
It's a pain.
It's a pain. It's not worth the trouble.
Well, she doesn't have a job right now, though, right? Because she quit mm-hmm. Newman because she said she just couldn't be work there because of
Adam being
Victor.
There?
Remember?
Oh, because Victor. Mad at Victor. Yeah, that's right. She's still mad at Victor. Okay.
And she basically, she said, okay, I can understand that Victor is going to be a part of our family life because he's Nick's dad, mm-hmm. but she can't handle also working for him.
Right. Which is reasonable, I think.
Sure.
But
I have no problem with that.
Yeah. But yeah, she needs to find something more productive to do.
And so one of Adam's buddies from Harvard called him and basically was like, hey, this totally hot chick was...
Hot redhead.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, what, Heather's there? I was like, oh, right, other redhead. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Adam gets that Phyllis is... She's
on the trail.
On the trail.
Yeah, so...
Get over it.
Yeah.
But she, I think, didn't she confront him? And she was like...
I think she did, yeah, and he's just like, you know, let it go.
Yeah,
it's over.
Well, of course he's like, let it go.
But then he didn't follow up on it with any weird Adam stuff.
Yeah,
you know, he's okay. Kind of, you know, in wait and see mode.
Yeah,
to see.
Okay.
You know what comes up out of it. But. Mhm. But Nick knows that she went to Harvard.
Yeah.
Because he was snooping around in her purse and found the
oh, yeah.
visitor pass.
And she's keeping secrets.
Yes. And,
Jesus.
You know, he's keeping secrets from her, so I don't think that they're...
Yeah, because he and Sharon had, like, half a moment.
Well, it was when Noah went to Paris.
Oh.
And then there was 20 minutes of clip show of... You know, not
them in Paris in front of like a carousel.
Yes,
on
front
the bridge.
Of the Eiffel Tower. Yeah.
And all the scenes like, we've seen before.
It's like, yeah, okay, we get it. You had a good time in Paris. Good for you.
Good time.
Yeah.
It's but, yeah, and she kind of mentioned she was like, I've just been thinking about Paris. I can't believe they are letting Noah go. I am
what?
Shocked.
No.
I am shocked.
I can't believe they waited this long.
Because the last time he was in Paris, like a year ago,
yeah,
with Eden, they got arrested.
But it was for something stupid.
It was
not
stupid.
Their fault.
I'm sorry, but if I was a parent of a teenager, okay.
He's a whole year older.
He screwed it up the first time. He got arrested.
No.
International arrests are not something to, like, toy with.
Oh, please. No, I disagree.
Really?
Yeah, I have a friend who got arrested in France years ago
well,
for breaking
it's
a
France,
toilet.
Well, France, whatever. You know.
Yeah.
But I'm
so,
just saying,
you know,
if I had a kid
not a big deal.
Where it was like, you know, you're entrusting them to be responsible enough on a school trip or whatever, you know, they're chaperones, but they
yeah.
snuck away.
Yeah, because
they
it
got
was a school
in trouble.
Trip. And those are, you know, those chaperones don't, you know, were there for to have a good time as much as for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, now Noah and Eden are in a boarding
they're
school.
Like
they're in a
sophomores. They're not even that old.
Well, so what? It's still an
they
established
They just burned down
school.
A house. They are
that
not.
That was not their fault.
I know,
was,
but the world does not know this.
No,
from
that's
a parent's
true.
Perspective,
all the
there's
more
no
reason
way I would
to send
let
them.
Go.
No. Here's why they got to go. Because in France, there's going to actually be supervision. They don't have any supervision, or Noah at least doesn't have any supervision at home.
But they don't think rationally on YNR.
No, but for this was one of the few good parenting choices.
Okay.
That they have made
well,
with this
Well, when Ian
child.
Comes back with a bun in the oven and...
Yeah, I'll take it all
Noah
back.
Noah has
and French
some little
herpes.
French mustache, you
oh,
know.
Yeah.
You'll take it back.
I will.
He'll be
when
wearing
that
a beret and...
Yes, and she'll be wearing one of those
be
mime
smoking
shirts.
Cigarettes. They'll both have just gone to mime school.
That's right. They didn't say that it's mime school. We thought it was just some kind of international high school, but no, they're going to study the meme. The great art of the silent.
That's his way of rebelling.
That's right.
I don't want to take over Newman.
No, I want to be a clown.
That would be hilarious.
That would be very funny, actually.
Anyway.
No, I still support the fact that they finally let him go.
Well,
and now they need to get Abby in a supervised environment.
No, yeah, and I thought well. I actually thought Abby might have a shot at going to France. I thought that was a good idea for her to go too.
Yeah, yeah.
But it looks like
because see the school that I picture that they're in is the one in the Madeline books, and that they have to walk everywhere in two straight lines.
Yeah,
yeah. That's exactly the school that they're in.
Yeah. I'm sure that's exactly how it is. That's
exactly how it is. And the boys are in one.
We pretty much know they'll be getting a better education, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so.
Yeah, that's clear.
All right. So, whatever.
So since Sharon doesn't have any obligations anymore except her husband, she was bored with Genoa City? Is that why they went on their trip?
Well, she was kind of mopey because she had just told Nick, I was thinking about Paris. And he was like, yes, I know. Me too. It was kind of like, they were kind of looking at each other and I was like, don't you even go
step
there.
Step back.
Yeah.
Step right back. Get in your car.
And then Adam came, you know, Nick left and Adam comes home like 30 seconds later and is like, pack your bags, we're going on our honeymoon. Mm-hmm. And they are whisked away to the Bahamas or something.
Yeah, they're in the Bahamas.
Or St. Martin. Mm-hmm. And they've basically been naked for a week.
Pretty much, yeah. And I will say this. They have good physical chemistry together. The scenes of them just kind of laying around with not much on, snuggling up.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah,
totally
okay.
Totally believable.
It was good.
And at the same time, though, anytime that Sharon leaves the room to use the bathroom, to go get the paper, whatever, he's like calling home or on
his
email.
He's checking on Phyllis.
Yeah, he's
to know what Phyllis is doing.
You know, Sharon keeps coming back like, oh, why are you on the phone? Why are you on your email? And it's like, dude, just give it a rest. And you're making her nervous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and she should be more indignant about it.
Yeah. It's like, hey, it's our honeymoon.
This isn't enough for you.
Yeah.
You also have to get on the internet and troll for porn.
She looks pretty good.
She looks good, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'm impressed with someone of her advanced years.
Advanced years.
No, I think she looks great.
Yeah, she looks really good. So I think they're a good match.
Yeah.
I don't know for how long, but I like it.
Yeah.
There was a point where they were kind of joking about
buying a bar on the beach.
Oh, yeah, they were talking about that. Yeah. It was like,
And he kind of jumped on it, and he kind of looked into it. And
he did.
I think he kind of thought, okay, if this is
their chance.
We can do this. We could actually do this. Oh, my God. And then she's just like, oh, no, we couldn't possibly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, you suck. Why? Because really, why couldn't they?
Oh, there's
They've
no reason
They've got the money.
They
don't have any ties my to thought the community. Was, they don't have any friends.
Well,
they don't have jobs.
They might want to wait a couple years till Noah graduates high school, theoretically. But no, I mean, you're totally right. There's nothing really holding them back from buying a bar. Other than, well, actually,
and
no,
experience.
he has very good business experience. I was going to say
business experience.
Doesn't.
And she could cocktail waitress, are you kidding me?
Yeah, she started Crimson Lights, actually, that they
probably would have
really done well. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Because in reality, we can't have two people who are extremely important in Genoa City to just be whisked away.
No.
We need them to continue to get into an annual plane crash.
Right. And mischief.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
What would we do without the tunnel vision?
Yeah.
Scenes of him reading something or, you know, looking
getting
through,
punched
looking
in the
through
eye.
Window. Yeah, that's right. There weren't enough opportunities for him to get punched in
Lord.
The Bahamas.
Mm. Oy. Yeah. Where do we go?
Oh, let's just go with get Daisy and Ryder out of the way. I just don't even want to talk about them.
Really?
I'm kind of, I don't know.
Are you over it?
I was really hopeful for Daisy. I had high expectations. And the more that they're doing this, you know, not letting me know what's the deal with her? Who is
she? They're
just
stringing it along.
Yeah, they're stringing it along way too much.
For no reason. Like, yeah, we need to know the motivation behind it.
Yeah, because now I kind of don't care, and I'm turning against Daisy. I was really pro-Daisy for a while.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, you know what? Screw Daisy. Don't like her anymore. She's not a good villain.
She was hitting on somebody. Oh, Daniel.
Daniel, yeah. Stupid, stupid Daniel. God, I hate Daniel so much.
Oh, I hate him too. You want to create a I Hate Daniel fan page?
Oh, God, yes.
There's got to be a couple out there.
Oh, there's got to be, yeah.
He sucks. There's not much I can say about it.
Yeah, no, he's just...
I used to love Daniel.
I know, I did too when he, you know...
Even, like...
He was, like, had good storylines when I very first was starting to watch the show.
He's lame.
And now he's just, like, tanked.
Then he got, like, addicted to porn and...
But I thought that was interesting.
I know, at least that was funny.
Like, you know, it was like, okay.
So, with Daisy and Ryder, basically, they were, like, arguing out in front of Trumbull's bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And, Jana saw them from around the corner, mm-hmm. and of course Daisy and Ryder don't discreetly argue or anything.
No,
and
they're like in the middle of the street, yeah. yelling at each other.
You know, where Billy broke a snow globe, right. and Abby broke her fifth, and...
Mm-hmm. It's a dangerous corner.
It is.
Glass shards everywhere.
Totally.
Under the sparkling snow.
So Jana overheard them arguing about all they'd been through and...
Right, and she
they
confronted...
They need to stick together. Yeah, she did.
And said, or at least confronted just Daisy and said, you know, well, what have you been through?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What, and... Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, same thing. She just kind of talks her way out of things. And mm-hmm. Jana doesn't believe her, though.
No, not at all.
And in the meantime... Before Noah left for Paris, he...
On behalf of Eden, who's been, you know, blackballed because of the stuff that yeah. Lauren had found.
Yeah, because Daisy planted all that
right.
anti-Lauren stuff in her room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Noah knew that was all BS.
Yeah.
So he snuck into the house, apartment, whatever.
And found Daisy's book bag.
Right.
And found a picture...
Mm-hmm.
Was it the same picture we found before?
I think it's the same picture. Or, like, you know.
Yeah.
Taken the same day, obviously, at the same place.
Yeah, okay.
You know, kind of thing.
And it's Daisy and Ryder, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But did it have the name Daisy on it? Didn't it have a different name?
It had a different name, but it was pretty clearly
Yeah, it was
her.
The two of them.
And it was, you know, pre-Photoshop, so.
Yes.
You know.
Sure. And so Jana and Noah kind of put it together. Okay. Daisy and Ryder have known each other a while.
A long time, yeah.
But they don't really know...
What the connection is
yeah.
yet.
And that was about where they left it off.
Yeah.
But we're going to know here soon.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, it's got to be. Because I think what's going to happen is...
Dragging it out this long, I don't see why they wouldn't drag it out longer.
Shut up! At the same time, like, maybe a day later or something, Noah goes off to Paris... And Amber and Daniel are in the coffee shop, or in the bookstore.
Yeah.
And they kind of get into it again about having kids. So
mm-hmm.
little D is apparently okay, and he's with right. her mom, and mm-hmm. Deacon gave them some money to take care of him, so he's okay. But Amber is like, hey, dude, my clock's ticking.
Yeah.
I want to have a baby. And I kind of agreed with Daniel on
yes.
one hand. In that he was like, you know, like a month ago, I thought I was going to be in jail for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not, and I would like to live.
Right. Well, I respect him for saying straight out, you know, I don't want to have kids right now.
Yeah.
You know, this is not a good time for me.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think he's still kind of being a prissy butt about it.
He is, and I feel like they should have talked about it. You know,
again,
they were good candidates for premarital counseling.
I was just going to say, if you were a marriage counselor in Genoa City, you could make a gajillion dollars a year because you would never have,
yeah.
you know, need for clients. There are plenty of them.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, did they even talk about this before getting married? It's like, oh, you're my life, you're my love, I want to spend the rest of my life together.
But we're not going to talk about what that life looks like.
No!
You know, and somebody mentioned, you know, I think it might have been Daniel, we don't have jobs. You know, we don't how are we supposed to support a kid?
And, I thought that was a bunch of crap, though, because
By that point, he had gotten to, you know...
He's coming up with excuses. Yeah,
and it's like, he should have just held his ground and said, I am not ready to have kids.
Yeah.
The end.
Amber is a little bit older than him, right? Isn't that?
A couple years, but not too many years older.
No.
You know, so I think that they need some sort of a mediator or someone to...
A mediator.
You know...
Well,
work with them to say, okay, you guys are obviously at opposite ends of the spectrum on this. Now what are you going to do about it?
Oh, see, you're being way too diplomatic about this. This is what I thought was going to happen. So then, right after the argument, Amber is like, I'm not hungry anymore. She goes home, and somehow, I guess, Daisy has borrowed Daniel's camera?
He loaned it to her, because... She's taking an art class and doesn't have a camera because she knows
excuse.
She's poor.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so poor and an orphan. And I don't have anything nice ever.
Ever.
And whatever. I'm going to have to do my photography classes with drawings instead. And I draw with stick and dirt because I'm so poor. This is how over.
Yeah, I can tell.
Daisy I am.
Wow, okay. Well, anyway, so she's like, hey, Daniel, I have your camera. Oh, but I have all these questions.
Yes.
Why did I get these blurry lines?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, do you have a...
Oozing up to him.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, I'm a douche. I'm going to show you everything because even though my girlfriend or my new wife is totally pissed off at me.
Yeah, this is more important.
I'm just going to hang out with you.
Right.
So,
but I think that he was completely oblivious to her advances,
totally.
Which is hilarious. It's
totally.
Like, okay.
And she was like, kind of, well, he's like...
Basically sitting in his lap.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And just purring over him.
Yeah, it was nauseating.
So here's what I think. Rather than their premarital counseling or postmarital counseling now, I guess, I think Daisy's just going to date rape Daniel or something like that.
I was going to say, she's going to get knocked up and Amber's going to be pissed.
Yes.
How could you knock her up and not me?
Because, I mean, there's been lots of male date rape. I mean, we just had Patty do it to...
Kane got date raped.
Well, I think she just made it look that way. I don't think she actually...
I think she actually did.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I would have.
So, date rape is bad and wrong. No one should do it. However. In the fictional world. Oh, yeah.
If you have
a
naked
Patty,
Aussie in your passenger seat who's drugged up.
Or Chloe.
Alright. So,
I
think that's kind of where they were going, because she has definitely got some sinister thoughts about Daniel.
And Daniel's
and
stupid.
Amber.
She has got her eye on Amber.
And especially if Amber and Jana might conspire a little bit about the connection between her and Ryder. I'm worried about Amber, frankly.
Yeah.
I think bad things could be headed her way.
Oh, that might be fun. Okay.
Fun?
Well, I mean, Amber's been kind of a non-existent character for a while.
Some bad things would happen to Daniel.
Well, yeah, but, you know, at least Amber will have a storyline worth paying attention to besides this kind of mopey...
Or Scooby-Doo.
I
want to
have a baby.
Yeah.
Come on, Daniel, let's have a baby.
Yeah, because, you know...
No means no.
Okay, I like Amber. If they ruin Amber, though...
Oh, Mama won't be happy with me. Because, Amber used to be one of my favorite characters, and she's just kind of not even...
She's kind of bland
on the radar
right now.
Anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
They need to up her clothes, too.
They
Her clothes
do.
Have been really dull. She used
it's
to be
not
really
like
fun
her.
To look at, and now it's
Because
like,
now she has that motherly instinct now.
That doesn't mean...
You can't
have
hot,
to stop.
Sexy, leopard print miniskirts when you're thinking about having a baby. They
That's
just don't mean the right thing.
That's a shame.
I know.
I kind of want Amber's mom to show up.
Oh, I was really hoping
for
that. You
know, and have her be just as...
JoJo?
Well, no, because JoJo was too rough edge.
Yeah.
I want it to be, you know, more... I'm not sure who I want to use as a reference, but, you know, someone who's just white trash, skank, kind of maybe Flo from, you know, Flo's Diner, kind of a...
I was thinking maybe more a little... I mean, she said slutty.
Mm-hmm.
So
someone played by Leslie Ann Warren. Sure. You know, her kind of characters.
Yeah, okay.
Somebody like that.
I can't believe I know that right now, frankly.
Somebody who rocked the big cherry
earrings.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, maybe. You never know. We might get
That'd be fun. That's what I would write if I was a writer for Lion R. Just saying.
All right.
All right. So the new quadrangle?
Yeah, a little bit.
Nice.
Speaking of Boston, Boston was...
popping.
It was.
Everybody was at Logan Airport passing through. And that was something that actually surprised me. There was that long sequence where Billy and Victoria are both stuck in the airport in mm-hmm. Boston. And Phyllis came and went without any trouble at all.
I know.
So
they Newman, were not on the same plane.
And she was not on the Newman jet because it didn't crash.
Yeah, you're right.
So for some reason, though, they did not meet up with Phyllis. But they met up with each other.
Billy and Victoria.
Billy and Victoria. Victoria's just on her way back from Dubai.
Dubai. And JT, while at home, mm-hmm. Had... like, planned this whole huge reunion because it was, like, their anniversary.
Right.
And he was just, like, ready to say, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. and let's make things awesome.
Yeah. Let's have an actual marriage again. And he was ready to be a married guy and work through it. And
But Mac you know. Was there.
Also.
Why was she there?
She was babysitting Reed.
Okay. So it was in preparation. Like, Victoria was supposed to go home, mm-hmm. or come home.
Come home.
And he would whisk her away, and then Mac would watch Reed.
Right.
Okay. And then Victoria's plane gets delayed, which mm-hmm. is also Billy's plane. Mm-hmm. They end up in the most stereotypical Boston bar possible. It's like, it was just a
set. It was
set.
At the airport, wasn't it? I don't think it... I
was
think
it the was, airport
I think
bar?
It was the airport bar.
I don't know. Yeah. It was like they tried to tell us it was Boston by giving a green beer and a whole bunch of big, giant cardboard cutouts of shamrocks.
Of shamrocks, yeah. And I kept thinking, like, it's like, okay, it's not...
It's not St. Patrick's
Day.
Day
yet. That is
But it's
weird.
Boston, because we're supposed to assume anywhere in Boston is covered in shamrocks.
Right, yeah, and green beer all the time. And not just green bottle beer, but actual green beer.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
That's not accurate.
I did think it was funny in a way. Either way, so...
It was kitschy.
They kind of bitterly laugh that they've landed in the same bar, but then they both have some beers together and have a good time.
Yeah.
And there was some talk of Billy's boxers, you know, yeah.
Right, yeah.
There was some flirting.
Yeah, there was some flirting, and he had bought, it's, you know, Cordelia's first birthday, so he had bought...
A giant stuffed dog.
Huge stuffed dog, and all kinds of fun things, but at some point he decided that Victoria needed the little princess tiara more. Mm-hmm. Was it after she fell asleep on the
table? I think so, yeah. And somehow she ended up taking it home with her?
Yeah.
Like, she wakes up with a tiara. Oh, I'm just going to
stick
this
in my bag.
In my purse.
I'll just take this home. You never know when you might need one.
And then they ran into each... Well, okay, so then they get home. Mm-hmm. And instantly Victoria's a bitch.
Oh, yeah. Insta-bitch.
Because poor JT has spent the whole night waiting up for her, because mm-hmm. it's the next morning.
Yeah, being kind of a schmuck.
They exchange their gifts.
Which, as I recall, were lame.
They were kind of lame.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But indicative of where their relationship is.
Yes.
You know, the level of effort.
At least they tried.
I suppose.
But she just, like, flew off the handle.
Mm-hmm.
And
stormed out before even seeing Reed.
Yeah.
And Reed saw her walk out.
I think he heard her voice.
Heard her voice and woke up and said, where's Mom? And
yeah.
Mac was right there.
Uh-huh.
Saying, forget her.
Here I am.
Here I am.
And I'm such a wonderful mother.
Yes.
Yeah.
To be.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So she's...
So she's been consoling JT.
Yeah.
And Victoria ran into Billy.
Mm-hmm. At the coffee shop.
At the coffee shop.
Right.
And then she just sort of went and told her family that her and JT are getting a divorce.
Well, no, she and JT had a conversation, and it was just kind of a,
well,
you know,
she went, does it mean this is...
Are we done?
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
And he's just like, yeah, I guess so.
But it wasn't even, like, one of those things where she lets it cool down for a day.
No.
It was she just goes to work, and she's like, yeah, by the way, I'm getting a divorce.
Yeah.
So he wasn't very happy...
It was definitely reconcilable, and she just was not even at all interested.
No, and she told Nikki. She said, "We're not in love with each other anymore."
Mm-hmm.
And I went, that's fine, because you're a crappy mom.
Whatever. Yeah, she sucks. I hope she doesn't get any kind of custody.
But I think it'll be a big deal. I bet there will be.
Big custody battle. They haven't had one on the show.
She's been a terrible mom.
She's a horrible mom. Yeah. Because even when she's
my judgmental eyebrows are up.
Yeah. Because even when she is there, she was no better a mom when she was living in Genoa City than she was when she was in Dubai.
No, no. You know,
she's always pawning him off on somebody. And
JT's a good dad. First.
And JT is a good dad. He takes Reed to work.
And now Billy and Mac are officially, like, they're pretty much done.
They've been done for a while. Okay. Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so it's pretty clear what the pairings are going to be. There's going to be more sparks with Billy and Victoria.
Absolutely.
Because they still think that they hate each other, but they don't.
But they're going to have some drinks.
Fiery stuff. Yeah.
Totally. I'm into that.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah. I don't think that they will stay together for very long, but, you know, as a rebound kind of thing for Victoria, rebound. I think it'll be good. I think JT and Mac have some potential.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You know, and he's been through a pregnancy before. So.
Hang on, I have a thought.
No.
Wait, remember when Billy had his like go in the future? You know, the ghost of Billy, whatever thing.
Yeah, Mac was married to Kevin.
Oh, that's right. Well, they showed
I
her
think
with
the future
a little.
Was flawed.
They showed her with a little blonde boy
mm-hmm.
at Lily's, and I was thinking, oh, what if that was Reed? But he probably wouldn't be old enough.
No, Reed. Yeah, that.
All right, never mind.
Yeah, I think that the flash forward.
She was married
was
to
just
Kevin.
A dream. I don't think that was an accurate portrayal of what.
Okay, good.
Would happen. Yeah, because Mac and Kevin are ridiculous.
You never know. You never know. They make the weirdest pairings possible.
I know. But then what happens to Jana? Jana and Amber. Okay, I'm back on board. That works for me just fine.
I was going to say Daisy kills her, but...
No.
You can have Jana and Amber.
Okay, I pick that.
Okay, are we through all the other stuff?
I think...
Is it time?
I think it is time to talk about the switcheroo.
Oh, Lord. Where do we start?
Okay. Let's just back the truck up. So, Jack and Dr. P had been meeting with Chloe, the wedding organizer.
The wedding was going to be Valentine's Day.
Yeah, the wedding was going to be on Valentine's Day. Oopsie. You can't have it at the church you wanted. Can we substitute this other church? Dr. P doesn't care. She doesn't know one church from another.
No.
And let me just say right here and right now, suddenly they're all Catholic.
Oh,
and having a Catholic wedding, if you get
married
in a Catholic church, you have mandatory
premarital
counseling.
Yeah.
You have to take it. You can't get married without
Maybe
it.
Maybe it's because Jack has done it so many times before, they
just
wave
him
through.
And they don't care that she has no religion to speak of.
I have no clue.
Okay. So, they switch it to, what a coincidence. The only church that's available is the one Jack and Patty got married in originally.
Yeah.
The one where Patty had her sanctuary moment. Is that the same church?
Yeah. Because, I mean, really, it is the only church we ever see.
Right, yeah.
Regardless of whatever function is happening there.
Right, yeah.
Sanctuary, wedding, whatever.
Right, yeah. So, they're in planning mode.
Full on.
Meanwhile, Patty is not taking her meds. Going, not really so slowly, more and more crazy, but just, you know.
She's nuts, though.
She's nuts.
She had some major ballistic flip-outs.
Yeah, yeah.
Where apparently no one notices. Where she was, like, banging the mattress and stabbing things with children's scissors, and no one
ripping
notices.
Ripping up papers and beating up her. They did notice when she beat up the little paper mache house that she had made.
That's true.
But Paul didn't bother to find out why she was freaking out or what had set her off. Which was, this was so great. You had texted me something about the orderlies at the mental hospital or wherever it is. The fact that Patty's working on this little papier-mâché house, which, frankly, was about as good as I would be able to make a papier-mâché house, so I was really impressed. I thought it was awesome.
Sure.
Oh, Mr. Orderly Guy, I need some more newspaper. Oh, okay, here you go. Yeah. And he just pulls it out of the trash and gives her that day's edition, which, of course, has the full-page spread of Jack and Emily's engagement picture.
Yeah, their nuptial information.
Yeah.
And Patty knows, she's like, I got like 5 days
to get...
To make the switcheroo happen.
To make this happen, right, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, she flipped, and she was like, you know...
That was a great freak out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
And, but Paul had come by, and after she'd beat up the papier-mâché house, and he was like, what happened? And she was like, I thought by now I would have had the house and the husband, and da-da-da.
And how many housewives in America, or single women, you know, getting older in America, saw that scene and said, that's me.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure there were quite a few.
Okay. All right. So, I don't know. He talks her down, whatever. She's still hoarding her pills. And she, I guess, you know, premeditates that she's going to have to make this switcheroo happen real fast. And she decides to take on the personality of Dr. P for...
In order to get Dr. P to come there. That somehow that would lure her.
That she doesn't really believe she's Dr. P or anything. Right. She just acts
she's
like
she believes
like
it. Yes. She believes it. Yeah, which I thought was just brilliant. It was really good.
Totally.
In her little crazy mind.
And so...
It works.
It totally works. Her real doctor, her new doctor, is out of town. Paul calls
Emily. Have we ever
seen
the new doctor?
No.
Okay.
Because obviously she's not being properly cared for.
Oh, no.
And... So basically, like, the day before the wedding, Paul calls Emily and is like, Patty is nuts, FYI, didn't you know?
Yeah, right.
She's regressed. She thinks she's you. You better get here.
Which makes no sense to me at all. I don't understand what, other than the fact that she's the
Hello?
Only doctor
this,
he
this
knows.
This is Paul's, you know, expertise area. Come on.
I know. I.
And Dr. P, she's totally qualified and competent. Come on. Yeah. It was a
she
natural
wouldn't see why
thing
this
to
was
do.
An unreasonable request.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We've talked about how she has no personal or professional boundaries, so. Okay.
No. No.
And meanwhile, Emily had told Jack. I'm sleeping apart from you.
Yeah, she got a room at the club.
At the club, right. The night before the wedding, we're going to pretend we're chaste, and I'm going to be separate so that you don't actually see me until the wedding.
Sure.
And Jack's like, oh, I'll miss you so much. I'll just go and have, you know, the most pathetic bachelor party ever at my house with my sister and sisters and brother.
Your old sisters.
Yeah.
The one who's still mourning about her dead daughter's donated heart.
Boy, was she a buzzkill.
Oh, she
I mean,
was
you know,
terrible.
I'm not a fan of Tracy anyway, but it was just like, I'm so happy to be here on this most happy of occasions, even though my daughter's still dead. It's like, God.
She brought that up anytime she could.
Oh, anytime she could. And, you know, admittedly, you never get over the death of a child.
I'm
blah,
sure.
Blah, blah, blah. But still, it was
but
just like,
do you have to bring it up in every single situation? It was like anytime.
Yeah, anywhere she was. No matter who she was talking to, she managed to turn it back to that.
And everybody kind of got that look on their face like, I have to shut up now.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tracy.
Anyway, so Emily is highly inconvenienced, but agrees to go and see Patty.
Right.
And Paul's like, meets her outside Patty's door. He's like, you know, she thinks she's you. I don't know what to do. And then he's like, oh, and
I gotta go.
Rush away.
Right.
Okay.
And was there somewhere he went? Was there a
you
reason
know,
for
I
him
You know, I
kind of
thought maybe he just went down to the cafeteria or something.
He was, you know, going to the bathroom.
He was not... In the immediate vicinity, but, you know, whatever.
No, but he was, okay.
He was trying to give them their switcheroo space.
Yes, apparently. Apparently.
So
she went in and talked to Patty, and Did Patty kind of resurface and just say...
Patty pretended like she was Dr. P for a little while, and then,
she broke out of it and said...
You bitch.
You took my man. How dare you?
And then threw her violently against the rubber wall.
No, there was a scuffle. But if you, you know, looking at the door, and I'm sure that the, you know, the writers were looking around, it's like, okay, what in the padded room has a hard enough surface that it would actually knock Dr. P out? And it's like the edge of the door, or the window or the door. God forbid an orderly
hear a noise or see anything.
Right, yeah. Hear, the fact that they're argument. They had a pretty hardcore struggle.
Hardcore, yeah.
Yeah, before, you know, before Dr. P went hit down. Her head on something. I think it was the edge of the window.
I'll go for it. But then she hit the ground, too. I mean, well, I guess it's padded ground. Never mind. Yeah, Dr. P was, like, knocked out. And then...
And she had in her bag... And I thought it was great. The setup was really good. Saw Dr. P drinking a little bit of water before she went into the room. She had a bottle of water that she put in her bag. And she was wearing a long scarf.
Yes.
That was not part of the fight at all.
No.
You know, had Patty wanted to strangle her, she could have without any trouble at all. But no.
But she's got a plan. That wasn't part of the plan. She had a full-on plan.
She didn't need to kill Dr. P. She just needed to switcheroo.
Yeah. So she took all those pills that she had saved up and... mixed them with the water and forced Dr. P when she kind of came back to and drugged her up.
Yeah, drugged her up good.
And managed to get a bottle of hydrogen peroxide.
From?
I don't know.
Yeah, and you know...
That was the only thing where I was like, where did that come from?
Yeah, they did not cover that at all because... And, you know, listeners, if you know where that hydrogen peroxide came from...
Please write it in.
Please write it on the comments, because we want to know.
Yeah.
It appeared out of nowhere.
And so she died...
Real quick, bleached her Dr. P's hair.
Like in 3 minutes.
Well, and with no other water.
Yeah.
And, okay.
No.
A couple years ago, my daughter did a science fair experiment about hydrogen peroxide, and if you put a clump of hair in it, it will dissolve it completely.
After a certain amount of time,
like,
right?
Two minutes.
It has to be,
it's
like,
not
rinsed
very
out.
Long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very short window of time, and yeah, you have to have water to rinse
and it's
it out
not like and... it would look exactly like Patty's hair where it has the roots.
Right.
And whatever.
Anyway, it worked.
It did work.
You know, Patty switched clothes with her.
And she put that long scarf around her head.
Yeah. Wrapped her own hair up.
It was an interesting little head wrap, but whatever.
Yeah.
It was functional.
It worked.
And
no one seemed to really notice that, okay, Dr. P hadn't been wearing that as a head babushka before she came in. All right, things changed.
And that her patient looks exactly like her, and maybe we should watch out for that.
Pay attention to anything.
And she rolled Dr. P kind of on her side, so she's facing the wall on her cot, and wrote a little suicide note.
Oh, that's right, wrote the suicide note in crayon.
Yeah.
You know, a long note, though. God, it went on forever.
It was long, like, and in crayon.
Yeah. It's like, okay.
Eloquent crayon.
Yeah, it was a pretty color, you know. Not, you know, deep, violent red. It was kind of a nice blue, so okay. So... And then she just strolls right out. I thought it was fantastic that there's no lock on the door.
Oh, yeah, that she just walks out.
She just opened it right up and walked out. And I'm like, shouldn't it have been locked on that side?
Like, shouldn't she have had to knock to get out?
At least.
But the orderly even stopped her and was like, oh, hey, Dr. P.
Leaving for the night?
Yeah. How's Patty? And she was like, oh, she's pretty good. She's going to sleep.
She's sleeping. Yeah.
She's very peaceful.
Yeah.
And then hustles her ass out of there and is like, I'm free! Meanwhile, the real Dr. P is on the cot.
Going into a coma because she's had how many weeks of antipsychotic medication pumped into her stomach or, you know, drunk into her stomach. So.
Totally. Yeah, it was...
So then Paul comes back from his little errand, wherever he was.
And he had another Emmy moment.
Oh my God, yeah. It was like, he goes in there... trying to talk to Patty. Okay, I'm gonna go now. And I swear to God, we've turned him and Father Todd, the brother, calling her Patty Cakes into a drinking game at my house. It's awesome.
You and your teenage daughter play a drinking game.
Well, with, you know, water and coffee, but yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a good one. Everyone should play Patty Cake.
All right. I'll remember that. Yeah.
But soon enough, even Paul figures out
I felt bad.
I was unable to feel bad because I was so distracted by the actor chewing the scenery. You know, he has these meltdowns about every 6 months, and it makes me laugh. I just think it's, you know.
I felt terrible because they rushed her to the hospital. I just felt like, this is the only thing Paul has left, and she's not really dead. It's not even her.
Right, yeah.
It's that...
There was a moment when they showed Dr. P and they're talking about how she's in a coma, and I'm thinking, well, you know, she's so crazy that all those psychotic meds might actually work to make her... And then I had to remind myself, oh, wait, that's not actually Patty. That's Dr. P, and she's messed up.
Yeah.
Probably for the rest of her life.
Totally.
But...
Yeah, and that's basically what the doctor said. He said, even if she comes back...
She's not going to come all the way back.
She's going to be different and weird and whatever.
Which sets up nicely.
It does.
Because now, you know, theoretically down the line, when Dr. P wakes up and says, I'm Dr. P, they'll just say, you Patty.
But at the same time, I tried to talk to you about it today and then we had to cut it off. We had to wait for the podcast.
Right.
My thought was... Because they already let her flatline once, and she's basically been in a coma. We never learned about her background once, and maybe it's because she was eventually a disposable character. We cared about Mary Jane Patty.
Yeah.
Dr. P sort of came in as this extraneous sort of vehicle so that Patty could end up marrying Jack.
Have the switcheroo, yeah.
And so I kind of feel like maybe they'll kill her off.
Yeah, I think it's possible. But I think it's also possible that they're going to keep her around because the dynamic is so much fun. And that... Yeah. Because think about it. If she wakes up and says, I'm Dr. Peterson...
Yeah. Everyone's
just going to say, okay, you're just crazy Patty being crazy Patty. And then...
And then it is...
Real Patty is married to Jack going, okay.
I have a big
what
secret.
What do I do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So...
Patty was having, like, the real Patty, was having a hard time keeping it together,
keeping
up. Though.
Yeah.
She gets
out. So
she
goes back to the athletic club.
And she...
Dyes her hair.
Yeah.
Dyes her hair brown.
Totally.
Looks good.
And, of course, you know, looks just like Emily.
Exactly. Oh, it's a miracle.
Too bad, because I thought Patty was cuter with her blonde hair. Oh, something about Dr. P's dark hair is too...
It's awfully somber.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, and she's just like, I don't even know what's going on. I've been in a rubber room for a couple months.
Yeah, and I wasn't all the way there.
Everybody's knocking on the door, and they're like, hey, you're all going to get married. Yeah. And she's kind of flipping out.
Particularly when Chloe came in.
Yeah, because she didn't even have a clue who Chloe was.
No idea why she was there or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, she didn't know who Kane and
Lily
were.
Yeah. And Chloe kind of bailed her out on that one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I was waiting for her to go to Lily. Why do you have that hat on?
It's awfully hot for that hat, don't you think? Yeah,
and
that would have been fun.
She was kind of stressing out because it was like the morning of, and she had a picture that they had taken, Malcolm had taken of her in her bridal gown ahead of time.
Yes.
Right?
So she knew what her makeup was supposed to look like.
Yeah,
and her
so she's
hair.
Trying to do her own makeup and hair, and then Chloe shows up and she's like, oh, the stylist will be here any minute. But Patty was kind of flipping out, like, I can't do this right!
Which I can relate to completely.
Yeah.
There's a reason my hair is short.
Well, but it was more like she was just having a little, I'm not sane, freak out.
Yeah.
Things aren't going my way, and I don't know how to handle it.
Right, I have no coping techniques at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then somebody else was supposed to marry them, and he
right,
got
priest.
Rushed away, and now her brother, Father Todd, had to step in.
Right. Now, did he marry them the first time?
I don't know. My goodness.
My guess is yes.
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's a really good question. Yeah.
And I just think that that's just so inappropriate to have Father Todd be the official for that particular couple.
Paul
and somebody
said
brought
that.
It was Paul. And I was like, right on, Paul. For once, you and I agree.
Yeah.
That's just, he should have stepped aside. And I guess he said he didn't know who the couple was. I was like, well, that's...
And it was too late to, like...
Find another priest,
oh, come
please.
On. Yeah. I got married. I found a judge in, like, a week. It wasn't that hard.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that hard. So
they know people in high places. I'm sure somebody could have married them.
Well, Catherine.
Sure, yeah. You're right. Darn.
That's her tootin'. New sideline.
I don't know. Anyway.
So, yeah.
And then they were having the wedding, and she's...
Well, no, wait. First thing, I do need to comment on the fact that I thought it was super funny that first thing in the morning, it's at the Abbott Mansion, and little Jackie comes bounding down the stairs, full-on tux, ready to go.
Yeah.
He's like that little kid
mm-hmm.
who, you know, he woke up at 5:30
yeah.
and put on his tuxedo and went and sat downstairs.
Yeah.
And he's just waiting for everybody else. And
yeah.
It's like, oh my God, okay.
What'd you think of Emily or Dr. P / Patty's wedding dress?
I thought it was pretty. It was okay.
Really?
I thought Ashley's dress was horrific.
Oh, I didn't really like Ashley's either.
Yeah, it was inappropriate for what time of day it was supposed
Phyllis's.
To be. Phyllis's was okay. Yeah, I thought...
I was bored with the wedding dress. I just thought it could have been better. More exciting. It just looked like Big Love.
Simple and elegant.
I don't know.
I thought it was elegant. It was kind of classy looking.
We didn't need a classy dress.
It was kind of a spinster getting married type dress.
Yeah. I guess that...
So
it,
she didn't...
It
she
aged
didn't know
her
enough.
To me.
It did age her a lot. Yeah.
I thought it could have been younger and more fun, and it was...
But
it
she's
was an
not...
Old
but she's
dress.
Not younger and more fun. She's pretty...
Come on!
Well, look at what she wears most of the time, though. She's pretty, you
know,
not fashionable. And so for
she
her to
She carries
suddenly,
around giant scarves in her purse.
Yeah. For her to suddenly be, you know, super
yeah,
fashionable
right.
would not have...
Well, I guess... I thought it was going to be this really cute, fun dress because Chloe had been talking
Chloe
it up.
Chloe had been picking it out, yeah.
And then when I saw it, I was like, Chloe gave the okay on that one? Okay, whatever.
Yeah, because it was appropriate.
Yeah, all right.
It just wasn't. But you're right, it wasn't very fun. It wasn't very glamorous, really.
No.
I thought Tracy's outfit was horrifying.
Was that
the
whole
silver,
bedazzled? Oh, yeah,
yeah, shimmer.
I do
she looked like a big peppermint patty. Just the wrapper.
Yeah.
You know?
Tracy is just... They should bring her back more often, frankly.
Because
we got a lot of fodder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tuxes themselves were nice. I mean, pretty standard classic tux. I like that.
Yeah, there was hardly anybody in that church, though.
So. Bare. There was a tumbleweed going
down
the aisle. And I thought that the dressings, you know, the way that the church was decorated was just horrifying.
I don't even remember.
It was like pink and purple, kind of flowery end of the row bows and stuff.
When
and
I
like,
watch
that
today's
is,
episode, I'll double. I'll
yeah,
look again.
It was just.
Well, was it Midwestern?
Perfect. It was perfect.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Which is why it made me a little sick. It was like, oh my God, look at that! They think that looks good, and you know it matches the you know. Napkins at the reception, and
yeah,
the little matchbooks, and
I'm sure.
You know, it was a lot of pink.
Yeah,
and I, you know, I think I've stated already, I don't approve of holiday weddings. Just you know, getting married on Valentine's Day just seems like the worst kind of cliche.
I just don't really care.
Yeah, no, I just think it's
whatever
a bad idea.
Well, I think it's probably a bad idea to. Marry your ex-wife's psychiatrist that looks exactly like your ex-wife in 6 weeks or less.
Yeah.
That's what
just
I
generally,
thought
was
a
that
bad
was,
idea.
That was worse than
just don't
the,
go there.
The pink bows? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go along with that.
But, and then when they were, I mean, I haven't finished watching the full-on, the wedding isn't finished yet, is it?
No,
well, we didn't watch today's episode.
Right.
We
no,
did
we
watch
not.
President's Day, which was yesterday.
Yesterday, but not today's.
And it's like... You know, they're spewing their vows and...
Yeah, well, they went in and again, I couldn't quite understand why they were doing things in the order that they were doing it, but Father Todd made some big speech and Patty had kind of a flashbacky type moment
mm-hmm.
and he had to say, you know, are you all right, Emily? And,
yeah.
You know, she had to... Get it in gear.
She's
kind of
pinching herself.
Yeah.
I can't believe I made this totally implausible switcheroo happen.
It's working. Oh my God. It's the happiest day of my life.
Oh, Lord.
Because I made this work.
It was just...
And his vows were the stupidest
yeah,
damn vows.
Lame.
Oh my God. And they went on forever.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, we get it.
Both of their vows went on forever.
I don't even remember hers at all.
Hers was...
I blanked hers out because I was just...
Hers was amusing because it was like, you know, everybody thinks it's Dr. P saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you don't know how badly I've wanted this.
Okay, I'm going to have to go back and look at that again.
Her fists are clenched so tight, you know. I wanted this now.
Yeah.
And so we know... Really,
yeah, which,
how
which,
badly she's wanted. Oh, everybody yeah. else is like, damn, Dr.
Whoa,
P is pretty
she's
intense.
Serious. Yeah, right there. Okay.
But I think it's a great... I wonder how long this will ride, you know?
Yeah, it's forever, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Just,
you know. The reception was a big disappointment, though.
Yeah.
You know, there was just kind of a lot of standing around and not doing much.
Well... Dr. P never had much of a personality.
No.
And Patty can't let her real personality show.
No, right. True.
And that, yeah.
And Jack just kind of wanted everybody out of there so that he can, you know, start the honeymoon.
Totally.
And again, I think it just shows the level of Jack's incompetence in the world that he can't tell...
The woman he's going to marry.
That he's kissing another woman, that it's another woman.
Oh, yeah.
That it's not his beloved. It's like, wow, you
so
just don't
weird.
Pay attention, do you?
No.
I don't care.
But that's
know.
Okay, because I like it. I like
yeah.
this whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, and the honeymoon, you know.
Yeah.
When they're in the bed, and she's kind of freaking out and getting overwhelmed, and he basically tells her to, you know, shut up and take it. I mean, a little bit more subtle than that, but really, it was just kind of like, everything's fine. Stop
yeah.
crying. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure. Yeah. Like, yeah.
You know. Jack did not win any points with me today.
Because normally? Oh, my God.
Not usually. I'm not a big fan.
Oh,
I know.
Lord.
But, you know, he seemed particularly dense. Just...
I know.
On so
I
many
know.
Levels.
Yeah, well...
But I do kind of love the fact that on some, you know, plane of existence, he's getting his comeuppance. Finally.
And I'm just glad that in a way, Patty's happy.
Yeah, you know?
But, I do feel bad when she sees how much pain Paul is in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
and
was a nice
And Paul really was
where...
telling her off, too,
yeah.
you know, assuming she's Emily. He's
yeah.
like, you
He ripped
are
into
just...
her.
Yeah, he was like, you're the reason that she's here.
Yeah.
Because she made
Which
the suicide note
yeah.
basically say, like, I'm doing this because
I
Paul
that...
or Jack and Emily are getting
yeah.
married. And I love how Dr. P, before she got drugged and all that, she goes, you know, we've taken every precaution possible so that Patty won't get this information. It was like,
no,
really?
Because
she's
done
got the newspaper
anything.
Delivered to her
right.
door every morning.
Yeah, the only thing you haven't done is, you know, parade it in front of her.
Yeah,
you
give
know.
Her a dramatic reenactment.
Right, exactly. Like, Patty, don't look at this.
What precautions? Good Lord.
Yeah.
And those orderlies.
The
I mean,
orderlies.
Those needed to be added to our list a few
for
months ago
year.
Of, you know, like, we were talking about job vacancies in
mm-hmm.
Genoa City.
Right, and incompetencies awards. They are on the list for next year.
Just in general, I think the psych ward needs to have a little...
overhaul.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Some things aren't going so well there.
No. No,
baby switching, people
Baby
switching.
Switching, people switching, yeah. All in that same facility.
Yeah.
Not being run well. They need Tucker McCall on it.
Oh,
go
they
in there
do.
And, you know,
Just
fire some
up.
People. And
yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Well.
So the
anyway.
Last, one of the last scenes that they showed yesterday was Dr. P... And she's in her coma, and people are talking
oh,
about
yeah.
her, and she can hear everything.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a name for that, that, you know, in coma victims, they can hear, but they can't react at all.
Yeah.
And so she's just like...
I'm supposed
figuring,
to be at my wedding.
Yeah, she's figuring out that, oh my God, Patty switcherooed, and they think I'm Patty, and she's marrying my fiancé, and this is really bad, and I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I felt bad for her.
I did for, like, half a second.
Well, you know, on reflection, it's kind of like, yeah, she kind of did bring it on herself. And,
yeah. Yeah, that's how I feel.
Taking a step back to...
Oh, well.
Be a professional. On any level. Would have probably been a better choice than the ones that she made. But, yeah. You know, everybody makes mistakes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So
I didn't feel bad, really. You know, maybe. But I really just feel bad for Paul, strangely enough. I just...
Yeah. Well, poor Paul. And surprisingly enough, not so much for Father Todd. He just kind of seemed to take it as a, well, it's a God's will.
I never liked him.
Yeah,
he's always been stuck up.
Yeah, he's really
religious,
over pious, and not in the nice way.
No, I don't know. And I generally don't even really like Paul. But Father Todd, you know, that whole family, the Williams family, I've just never really liked.
Yeah.
I wash my hands of them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, the only one I really have, you know, any positive feelings for are Casual Sex Heather. I think she's
casual
fun.
Casual Sex Heather.
I like her. The other Heathers, not so much.
Don't like Heather either.
Not so much. Father Todd, I can kind of take him or leave him, but I think he's just as competent as Paul at his profession.
Oh, yeah, because remember when Patty gave the confession to Father Todd?
Mm-hmm.
Or Mary Jane Benson gave the confession.
Right.
And he didn't.
Was too thick to figure out.
That might be my sister.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So.
I think
that wraps it.
Yeah, I think we'll probably be back in a couple weeks, and hopefully we'll have a lot more answers to all these burning questions.
So go to the
nobody
blog.
Really left us comments last time. I was a little disappointed.
Aww.
But we did have kind of a long string without podcasting, so that's okay.
Yeah.
Go to the blog yrupdates.blogspot.com. Anything else
comments?
Important?
Not that I can think of, no.
Tell us where that bottle of hydrogen peroxide came
from.
Yeah,
that's
Give
the
us
mystery.
Your best
guess.
Yeah.
Come on, Scooby Gang. You can solve that mystery.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see you next time.
Alrighty, bye-bye.